Disc 5.
How do you slow this thing down?
As Esme took another step closer to the trap, Violet dashed over to the masks, put one on, and stepped out of her hiding place as her brother and her friend looked on. "Stop, Esme!" she cried. "It's a trap!" Esme stopped in her tracks and gave Violet a curious look.
"Who are you?" she asked. "You shouldn't sneak up on people like that. It's a villainous thing to do."
"I'm a volunteer," Violet said. Esme's mouth, heavy with orange lipstick that matched her dress, curled into a sneer.
"There are no volunteers here," she said. "The entire headquarters are destroyed."
Klaus was the next to grab a mask and confront Olaf's treacherous romantic companion.
"Our headquarters might be destroyed," he said, "but the VFD is as strong as ever."
Esme frowned at the two siblings, as if she couldn't decide whether to be frightened or not.
"You may be strong," she said nervously, "but you're also very short."
Her dress crackled as she started to take another step toward the pit.
"When I get my hands on you..."
"No!" Quigley cried, and stepped out from the arch wearing his mask, taking care not to fall into his own trap.
"Don't come any closer, Esme. If you take another step, you'll fall into our trap."
"You're making that up," Esme said. But she did not move any closer.
"You're trying to keep all the cigarettes for yourself."
"They're not cigarettes," Klaus said, "and we're not liars. Underneath the wood you're about to step on is a very deep pit." Esme looked at them suspiciously. Gingerly, a word which here means without falling into a very deep hole, she leaned down and moved a piece of wood aside, and stared down into the trap the children had built.
"Well, well, well," she said. "You did build a trap. I never would have fallen for it, of course, but I must admit you dug quite a pit."
"We wanted to trap you," Violet said, "so we could trade you for the safe return of Sunny Baudelaire, but..."
"But you didn't have the courage to go through with it," Esme said, with a mocking smile. "You volunteers are never brave enough to do something for the greater good."
"Throwing people into pits isn't the greater good," Quigley cried. "It's villainous treachery."
"If you weren't such an idiot," Esme said, "you'd realize that those things are more or less the same."
"He is not an idiot," Violet said fiercely. She knew, of course, that it was not worthwhile to get upset over insults from such a ridiculous person, but she liked Quigley too much to hear him called names.
"He led us here to the headquarters using a map he drew himself."
"He's very well read," Klaus said. At Klaus's words, Esme threw back her head and laughed, shaking the crackling layers of her enormous dress.
"Well read," she repeated,
in a particularly nasty tone of voice.
"Being well read won't help you in this world. Many years ago I was supposed to waste my entire summer reading Anna Karenina, but I knew that silly book would never help me, so I threw it into the fireplace."
She reached down and picked up a few more pieces of wood, which she tossed aside with a snicker.
"Pah! Look at your precious headquarters, volunteers. It's as ruined as my book. And look at me. I'm beautiful, fashionable, and I smoke cigarettes."
She laughed again and pointed at the children with a scornful finger.
"If you didn't spend all your time with your head stuck in books, you'd have that precious baby back."
"We're going to get her back," Violet said firmly.
"Really?" Esme said mockingly. "And how do you propose to do that?"
"I'm going to talk to Count Olaf," Violet said, "and he's going to give her back to me."